今天早上我在这里有一个很新的尝试。This morning I'm here to try something very new. 我从来没有这样做过的，就是为自己做翻译，从来没有做过的。I've never translated or interpreted for myself, so this is a new challenge for me. So I'm a little scared. 我有一点的害怕。请大家是用祷告来托住我。I'm asking everyone here to prayerfully lift me up so that I can meet the challenge. This morning we're going to be thinking about an incident that happened about 6 months before Jesus went on the cross. 今天早上我们要来思想这一段的经文，是耶稣在他世界上面最后的六个月，很快他就要上十字架了。是一个行淫的时候的一个妇人给抓到，被带到耶稣的面前。It's a woman caught in the act of adultery and was brought in front of Jesus. But before...我们在看这个约翰福音第八章来思想它里面的真理的时候呢， 我想先跟大家看两段的经文，来明白耶稣在世界的时候是常常与罪人在一起的。 But before we get into John chapter 8, I would like to share a couple of passages with you to show you that when Jesus was on earth, he lovedTo be with sinners. The first passage came from 第一段的经文是在马太福音第九章第九节。这里说耶稣从哪里往前走，看见有一个人叫马太。马太。Here it says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, Jesus went on from there and he saw a man named Matthew.我们都很认识马太这个人啊，因为马太福音他是四个福音书的作者之一，也是耶稣的门徒。We're all familiar with his name Matthew because he's one of the four gospel writers, and he is also a disciple of Jesus. 马太那个时候在做什么呢？这里说他坐在税官上，他是一个收税的人。What was Matthew doing at that time? Here it says that he is sitting at the tax collector's booth. He is a tax collector. 当我们听到收税的人，我们想到 IRS, 我们心里面都有点害怕，是吧？ When we think of someone who is a tax collector, we immediately think of the IRS, so we are a little fearful. But notice, 请你注意，耶稣在这里是耶稣去找他的，不是他来找耶稣的。Let's take note of the fact that Jesus went to him. He did not come to Jesus. 所以耶稣来到他受税的地方，来寻找，来呼召马太这个人。So we see that Jesus went to his place of work.And he seeked him out, and he called him. 耶稣跟他说，你来跟随我，他就起来跟随了耶稣，不再做这个收税的工作了。Jesus came to him and told him, follow me. And Matthew got up and followed him. So he's no longer a tax collector. 收税有什么那么重要呢？受税的人是到底是怎么样的人呢？当时的人是怎么样看受税的人呢？ Who is a tax collector? What is the significance of someone being a tax collector? Why do people hate these tax collectors? Well, the Romans, they were, 那个时候他们是在罗马人的统治之下。罗马人很聪明，罗马人用犹太人来管制自己的犹太人。They were under the reign of the Romans at that time, and the Romans are very smart. The Romans used Jews to rule over the Jews. 罗马人将这个收税的这个职分卖出来，价高者得。那么他们拿了这个收税的这个权利呢，他们就可以向犹太人去收税。但是大家可以想象，他收的税呢，一定是罗马人要求他收的税以上，再加上他要赚的钱，而且加的相当多，所以他们都是很有钱的。Well, they purchased these positions from the Romans, and then they went ahead and collect taxes.But not only did they collect the amounts that the Roman demanded, but they added to it for their own profit. 因此呢，那些犹太人是非常非常恨这些收税的人，因为觉得他们是欺负自己的国民，是走狗。So the Jews hated these people. These people are Jews, but the Jews consider them running dogs.Traitors, because they collected heavy taxes from their own people. We read on verse 10. 我们继续来看第十节。这里说耶稣在屋里坐席的时候，有这些税吏跟罪人来与耶稣跟他的门徒一同坐席。Now we get to verse 10.It says, Jesus had dinner with these tax collectors and sinners, and together with the disciples. 那大家注意这里两件事。第一，跟人吃饭不是一件普通的事情，我们中国人都知道了。你跟他吃饭呢，你一定是跟他非常友好，你不介意跟他在一起，而且你大概你对他的印象非常好，你喜欢跟他在一起。First thing we notice here is we Chinese know when you have dinner, when you have a meal with someone, you're showing the whole world that you are friends of theirs, and you don't mind being seen with them, and in fact you probably have a lot of affection for those people.耶稣跟这些税吏跟罪人在一起吃饭，这个就引起那个时候的宗教领袖很不满了。Because Jesus had meals with these sinners, that causes the religious leaders at that time to be very, very unhappy with him. 第二件事我们在这里要注意的，为什么他将税吏跟罪人分开呢？难道就是税吏不是罪人吗？ The second thing we need to consider here is why do they separate collectors, tax collectors, and sinners? Aren't tax collectors sinner? Why separate them? 那个原因就是他们觉得收税的人呢，不是普通的罪人，其他的人都是罪人，但是呢，只是收税的人呢，他的罪是特别大、特别重，所以他们觉得税吏是大罪人，普通呢就是普通的罪人。The reason they separate the two groups is just as I said, they really hated these tax collectors. They consider them great sinners, not just regular sinners.So they have tax collectors and sinners being separated into two categories. We get to verse 11. The Pharisees saw this, and the Pharisees gave out some comments. 第十一节我们看到，这些法利赛人跟看到耶稣跟他们一起吃饭呢，他就问耶稣的门徒，为什么你的先生要跟这些大罪人跟罪人一起吃饭呢？ In verse 11, we saw that the Pharisees, when they saw this, they asked the disciples, why do your teachers like to be with the tax collectors and the sinners? 因为在他们心中，耶稣作为一个拉比，他还说他是从天上来，他 他是跟天父同等的这样一个这样一个老师，为什么偏偏要跟罪人在一起呢？因为耶稣那个时候已经传道三年了，很多人都认识他，也天天看到他讲道跟行这个神迹，所以他是这个不合耶稣的身份啊。These Pharisees, at that time Jesus had already started his ministry for about 3 years. They heard his teaching, they saw him performing miracles, and Jesus claimed that he is from heaven, and he's equal with God. So for someone in Jesus' position, they don't understand why he likes to be with these sinners. 第十二节，耶稣听到他们所讲的，于是耶稣给他们答案。耶稣说，健康的人不需要医生，有病的人他才需要医生。 Jesus heard what's in their mind and what they said. So Jesus answered it as follows. Those who are healthy don't need a doctor. Only the sick needs a doctor. 在这里当然耶稣是将自己是当成一个医生。有罪的人是心灵里面有病，是需要神来医治。但是耶稣在这里呢，也讽刺了那些法利赛人，他们是健康的吗？他们以为自己是健康，其实他们的罪更大，因为他们骄傲，因为他们不知道自己是罪人，他们是假冒为善的。 Jesus' answer here separated people into two groups, those who are healthy and those who are sick. When Jesus considered sinners being sick person, it's not physical sickness, it's spiritual sickness. Yet Jesus here is a little satirical. When Jesus said healthy, pointing to the Pharisees, we know that the Pharisees are anything but healthy. They're proud. They don't see that they are sinners. And a little satirical here. Then, 然后呢，我们到第十三节，耶稣继续解释，他说：“我喜爱连续，不喜欢继续。” Jesus continued to explain that God desires mercy, not sacrifice. 这个怜恤或者怜悯是什么呢？ What is mercy? 很多时候我们将怜悯跟恩典放在一起，恩典怜悯好像两者是同样的，其实两者有一点的分别。Many times we put grace and mercy together as if they are the same thing, but they're actually slightly different. Grace, 恩典就是我们不应该得到的，因为神爱我们的缘故，他赐给我们。Grace is something that we do not deserve, yet in God's great love, He gives it to us.我们所讲的就是我们不应该得到救恩的，但是神来拯救我们，因为他爱我们的缘故，这个是恩典。 We deserve nothing but death, but God in His great love and His grace, He gave us salvation, He saved us, something that we don't deserve.到怜悯呢，就是我们应该得到的。神因为他的大爱，神说我不要这个临到他身上。When we come to mercy, it's something that we deserve. Yet God in His great love says, I don't want this to come to Him. 当然我是讲我们有罪的应该是死的，永远跟神分开的，但是神说我不要他受罪的刑罚， 这个是神的怜悯。 God said, even though the wages of sin is death, but because of my love, I don't want this to come to believers. This is God's mercy. 然后耶稣就讲，我来是叫义人，我不是来叫义人，我是来叫罪人、啊、这里也是有点讽刺。你的法利赛人以为自己是义人吗？其实你是大罪人，你不知道，你自己不知道。 So Jesus here is also being slightly satirical. He told them, I come not for the righteous, equating the Pharisees with the righteous, but they were anything but righteous. And Jesus said, I come to call the sinners. So we can see, 我们可以看到神的心，神的心是爱罪人，神愿意拯救罪人。So we can see God's heart. His heart is for the sinners. He came to call sinners. The second passage I want to share with you comes from the Gospel of Luke. 第二章的经文呢，是从路加福音第四章第十四节。这里说耶稣回到加利利他的家乡，他那个时候已经很有名了，他的名声传遍了四方。 Luke chapter 4 says Jesus returned to Galilee. That area is where he grew up, and he's already quite well known in that area. 第十五节，他在会堂里面教训人。那个在以色列的地方呢，他们有一百个以色列人呢，他们就会有一个会堂。这个是他在家乡的会堂，他在哪里讲道，每个人都喜欢听，称赞他。 Verse 15 says he was teaching in the synagogues. In Israel, whenever they have a city or a town with 100 men, they will have a synagogue. And they worship in the synagogue. That's where they have social gatherings. And Jesus preached there, and everybody liked his preaching. 就是会堂呢，除了他们是聚会听到祷告的地方呢，也是他们一个交往的地方，一个社交的地方。所以耶稣就在那里讲道，他们都很喜欢听他讲道。 It's a social gathering and a worship place. 第十六节，耶稣来到拿撒勒，那个是他的家乡，他长大的地方，在安斯勒。他按平常的规矩，他就进到会堂，站起来念圣经。那个时候他们念圣经是站起来的，讲道呢，讲道是坐下来的。等一下我们会看到。 Verse 16 says Jesus went back to Nazareth. That is where he grew up. And on Sabbath, he went to the synagogue and he stood up to read the scriptures. So at that time, they stand to read the scriptures and they sit down to preach. Verse 17, someone handed第十七节，有人就将圣经交给耶稣。那本圣经呢，当然是旧约了，是以赛亚书。以赛亚书，耶稣就打开，找到一处，就念这个圣经了。So when Jesus was in the synagogue, someone handed him the scriptures, and of course at that time it's the Old Testament. It's the book of Isaiah.So Jesus read from the book of Isaiah. 我讲一句关于以赛亚书哈，以赛亚书。你念过以赛亚书，你就知道以赛亚书里面有非常非常厉害的预言，特别是第五十三章，那个尼赛亚要做的事情是写得非常非常清楚，那个就是耶稣基督的一生。 以赛亚是大概主前700年，所以整本圣经里面以赛亚书是充满了预言的。那个预言是准确到除了耶稣以外是没有、另外一个人是可以应验这些预言的。 I want to say a few words about the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is full of prophecies about what the Messiah is going to do. And it was written about 700 years before Christ. 因为那个预言是准确到一个地步呢，在、过去呢，曾经有人是不相信这个以赛亚书真的是以赛亚先知写的。当时有几个作者，有的是耶稣来了以后才写的，特别是53章，那当然是准确了，因为那个不是预言吗？那个是记载历史吗？他们是这样解析为什么以赛亚书里面的预言是那么清楚，那么的准确。Because the prophecies in the book of Isaiah were so accurate that in recent years, there were people who claim that there are different Isaiahs. There are more than one Isaiah. And some of the prophecies were written, for example, chapter 15 was written after Christ came. So of course it's accurate. You're really writing about history. You're not writing about prophecies.一直到1947年在以色列的地方，他们找到这个死海古卷，他们找到以赛亚书，整本的以赛亚书在耶稣来以前200年已经抄写下来。打开一看，以赛亚书66章是跟我们今天看的圣经是一模一样的，里面只有两个字是抄的时候有点错，其他包括的第53章都在里面。 All these denial that the entire book of Isaiah is prophecy stopped 1947 when they discover the Dead Sea Scrolls. Among all the scrolls they found, there's a complete book of Isaiah. And when they look at it, it's exactly.Almost exactly identical with the 66 chapters that we're reading today, with the exception of 2 little words. When they copy it, they made a little bit of error, but the 53rd chapter was in there. 因此在1947年以后呢，就没有人再说以赛亚有几个作者，或者呢，其实它是一本历史书，不是一个预言。So after 1947, all those talks stopped. 我在过去去以色列有18次，今年的10月份我也会第19次到以色列。每一次我去，我都到以色列的博物馆，他们有张这个死海的古卷是在哪里，你可以看得到的。I've been to Israel 18 times, and I'm going for the 19th time in October.And every time I go to Israel, I'll visit the museum. And the Dead Sea Scroll, the book of Isaiah, is on display there. 因此他们就将以赛亚书交给耶稣。耶稣打开来念以赛亚书。耶稣念的是哪一个部分呢？以赛亚书第61章。61章也是讲将来以赛亚来到底他做什么的。你凭他所做的事情，你就可以认出他就是弥赛亚。 They handed Jesus the book of Isaiah, and he read from the book of Isaiah. Where did he read? He read from chapter 61. Chapter 61 is also describing what the Messiah will do in the future. So based on what one does, you can recognize that he is the Messiah.第十八节，耶稣念：“主的灵在我身上，因为他用膏膏我，叫我传福音给贫穷的人，差遣我报告被掳的释放，瞎眼的能看见，叫那受压制的自由。”这个是你可以 翻到这个以赛亚书第61章，就是这样记载，耶稣念出来，跟我们今天看的是一样的。So Jesus read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and set the oppressed free." 当然耶稣在这里所讲的那个贫穷啊、被掳啊、瞎眼啊、亚季呢，都是从一个属灵的角度，不是从肉体的角度。罪人在最终他是贫穷的，他是被魔鬼、被罪恶所掳的，他是瞎眼的，他看不到神的真理，他受罪的压制。所以耶稣在这里就是说，弥赛亚来是要释放、来帮助、来拯救罪人。Jesus said, of course, is not talking about physical poverty or physical blindness or physical imprisonment. He's talking about spiritual. When you're in sin, you are poor in spirit. You are captured by sin. You're blind to the truth. And you're oppressed by the power of sin. Power of sin.然后耶稣在第21节，我没有放到这里，耶稣在第21节说，今天这经应验在你们眼前。 In verse 21, I didn't put it here, Jesus concluded by telling them that today you are seeing Messiah with your own very eyes. 因此耶稣在世界上面告诉人他的身份是非常非常清楚的。 Jesus, when he was on earth, did tell people very clearly who he was. Here he's telling people that he's the Messiah. Now, 这个第61章还有一处呢，耶稣也在用这一段的经文，是什么时候呢？是当施洗约翰在监牢里面的时候，他一直在坐，好像我以前在这里有讲过，他一直在坐在那里，耶稣没有来救他，他心里面就有一个疑惑，到底耶稣是不是真的是那个弥赛亚？他就差仆人去见耶稣，耶稣也是用这一段的经文来回答施洗约翰，就是告诉施洗约翰，我就是那个弥赛亚，你没有介绍错误。This Isaiah chapter 61 was also used by Jesus when John the Baptist, after he was imprisoned, he was waiting in prison and Jesus didn't come to save him. So he had some doubts in his mind whether Jesus was a true Messiah. So he sent some disciples to see Jesus, and Jesus also quoted this portion of scriptures to tell John the Baptist that he was indeed the Messiah. 我知道这个背景，耶稣来就是要寻找罪人，难怪他是喜欢跟罪人在一起。今天耶稣也是在找罪人，所以得救的第一步是我们要明白，我们要知道，我们要接受我是一个罪人，这个不容易的。So we can see from these scriptures that Jesus came to seek and to save sinners. So the first step to being saved is you have to recognize that you are a sinner. And that is a difficult task because many people don't feel they are really sinners. 我们现在要进到约翰福音第八章，我们来看一看。这里第一节说，于是过人都回家去了，他们在哪里，是什么地方，为什么他们会在哪里现在回家呢？ Now let's get into chapter 8 verse 1. It says they went home. So where were these people? Why were they there that now they left and went home? 他们在耶路撒冷，第七章是告诉我们他们在耶路撒冷呢是有一个节日，那个叫祝棚节。他们都到耶路撒冷去，包括了耶稣也在耶路撒冷。所以在第八章，这里是耶路撒冷。Well, they were in Jerusalem. The previous chapter, chapter 7, tells us that that was the festival of the tabernacle. So they were gathering in Jerusalem, and Jesus was there. 但是他们都回家去了，但耶稣留在耶路撒冷那里。我好像记得耶稣在这个时候在没有回到加利利 北边他的家乡，好像他从这个时间开始下面这六个月都在耶路撒冷那里传道，一直到他上十字架。 If I remember correctly, I don't think Jesus after this went back to Galilee. So he stayed for the last half year in Jerusalem until he was crucified on the cross. 这里说耶稣往橄榄山去，橄榄山是在哪里呢？橄榄山是在圣殿的东边，每一次我去以色列我都会到这个橄榄山去的。 Where is the Mount of Olives? It's to the east of the Temple Mount. It's on the east side. Every time I go to Israel, I stand on the Mount of Olives lookinginto the Temple Mount. Of course, now there's no temple there. There's only a Muslim a church or synagogue there. 今天已经你站在橄榄山，你就没有圣殿了，因为今天没有圣殿了。看过去呢，只有那个回教的金顶寺。在哪里哈？一个寺院在哪里？好，那么呢？耶稣在哪里是教训众人？在哪里讲道？在圣殿啊，早上他到圣殿哪里讲道 ？So Jesus returned in the morning to preach in the temple. 第三节有事情发生，这里说文士是抄写圣经的。你可以说是圣经的学者，也是宗教的领袖。法利赛人，刚才我们解释了，法利赛人是本来是非常好的人，很注意圣经里面的律法，很努力去守律法。可惜到耶稣基督的时代呢，就是法利赛人就变得很骄傲，看不起其他人，而且很注重外表，不注重心灵里面的状况。所以耶稣就常常是骂他们是假冒为善，他们也是跟耶稣是为敌的，很不喜欢耶稣的。 So verse 3 here says, the teacher of the Lord or the scribes of the law or the scribes, these are learned people, religious leaders, and the Pharisees. The Pharisees started out to be really good people. They read the law, they tried the best to follow the law,Yet in Jesus' time, they became quite proud. And they don't care what's inside, they only care about what's outside. So Jesus scolded them quite severely. And they don't like Jesus, they're enemies to Jesus. Then these people brought a woman. 这些人他就带一个行淫的时候的妇人来，叫他站在当中。很突然的有这样的事情。 Suddenly these people brought in a woman who was caught in the act of adultery. Now let's consider, 让我们想一想啊，这个行淫是什么意思。以前我觉得这个妇女可能是个妓女，被抓到了。但是呢，当我小心看这个 adultery 这个字的时候呢，是一个有丈夫的妇人跟一个有太太的先生来 来行啊不道德的事情。所以这个女人是行淫的时候被抓到。Well, what is adultery? For a long time, I thought this woman might have been a prostitute. She was caught in the act of selling herself. But then as I look more into the word adultery, look at the Old Testament, I think it refers to a married woman having illicit relationship with a man who's also married. So that's adultery. 他们要他站在当中，你可以想象他那个情况怎么样。他大概是非常非常的 embarrassed， 尴尬。他可能是很恐怕，因为他知道有什么事情会发生在他的身上。有可能他很后悔，哎呀，为什么要这样做，给人家抓到。所以这个女人一定是觉得非常非常的羞耻啊。Well, this woman was made to stand in the middle. You can imagine how embarrassed she is. You can imagine how fearful she might be, because she probably knew what's going to happen to her. She probably had a lot of regret. 但是我们要问几个问题啊，问几个问题。第一就是，这个女人被抓了，那个男人在哪里呢？那个男人在哪里？没有啊，没有啊。所以有可能这个男人是他们放了，就是要抓这个女人来问耶稣。The first question we have is, where's the man? When it's an act of adultery, it involves a married woman and a married man. So where's this man?So it's possible that they let the man go, a little bit of sexual discrimination. Or this whole thing was a setup, so the man was part of the setup too, so they let him go. 有可能这个男人也是参与整件的事情，就是要来问耶稣，要难道耶稣，所以那个男人他们不理了，就是带这个女的啊，在他们来到中间。第五节，我们来第五节，他们告诉耶稣，这个女人我们抓到了，摩西在律法上吩咐我们要把这样的妇人用舌头打死，你说应该怎么样做呢？ So they came to Jesus, verse 5. They told Jesus, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such adulterous woman to death. Now, what do you say? 然后我们来看律法上面怎么样写哈。这个律法是在生命记第22章第22节，我念给大家听。若遇见人与有丈夫的妇人行淫，就要将奸夫淫妇一并致死，这样就把那恶从以色列当中除掉。所以第一节他们讲的是对的，第一节摩西有这样的律法，而摩西的律法是从哪里来的呢？不是从摩西自己来的，是神吩咐摩西要定下这样的律法。Verse 22, Deuteronomy, says, if a man is found sleeping with another man's wife, both the man who slept with her and the woman must die. You must purge the evil from Israel. So the law is very clear. Moses' law is both the man and the woman had to be stoned to death so that they get rid of this major sin from Israel. Where did this law come from? It didn't come from Moses. It came from God. God commanded Moses to write this law down. So it's from God. God hated adultery. 因此 我们知道这个行淫这个罪呢是非常严重的罪，所以这些人是要用石头打死的。但是在这里我们的问题就是他们要来试探耶稣啊，第六节下面说他们要用这个来试探耶稣，给耶稣一个难题。这个难题是什么呢？他们一直要抓耶稣的把柄来定他的罪。所以在这里他们，我觉得他们是找到那个最完美的这个 trap， 这个啊 trap 是怎么样呢？ Verse 6 says they are trying to set a trap for him. They are trying to entrap him. But in what way was this a trap? On the one hand, this is Moses' law that whoever is caught has to be stoned to death. 究竟这个是什么样的一个 trap 呢？因为摩西的律法是非常清楚，你抓到这样的人呢，你就要用石头来打死的。但是耶稣在世界上面的时候，刚才我们不是念他是喜欢跟罪人在一起吗？他不是要来拯救罪人吗？他不是爱罪人吗？那么如果是爱他们的话，就不要打死他们了。但是神的命令是非常清楚的，这样的人是不能存活的，所以你爱他，你就要释放他，不要打死他。但是如果你是神，神也是公义的，你决定要打死他，那两者之间是不可能一起存在的。这个就是那个 trap 了。 I said this is the perfect trap because on the one hand God is very clear that Moses' law says whoever caught in the act of adultery has to be stoned to death. So this is God's law that everyone must follow. Yet didn't we just read passages that says the Messiah came to save sinners, and Jesus loved to be with sinners, identify with them, sympathize with them, love them? If you love sinners, you cannot stone this woman to death. But then you're in violation of God's law, because God's law is very clear. So this is a no-win situation. Whenever you turn, you select A, you violate B, you select B, you violate A. So that is the perfect trap and the perfect dilemma. Verse 6, 第六节，他们说这话呢是试探耶稣，试探耶稣。英文就说是 trap， 要得着他的把柄。耶稣弯着腰在指头啊，用指头在地上画字。耶稣好像不理他们，他们在哪里啊？问耶稣，摩西是这样讲，你怎么讲？耶稣好像不理他们，但是他们不放过耶稣。第七节说，他们还是不住的问他。Verse 6 says they want to set a trap for Jesus, yet Jesus seems to be ignoring them. Jesus continued to bend down and write on the ground with his finger. And verse 7 tells us that they insist on pressing Jesus for an answer. They're not going to let Jesus go because the whole thing was a trap that they set up for Jesus. 他们不住地问他，那在这里呢，就有很多的人，他是说耶稣到底在地上面写什么东西呢？有的人还说，这个就提醒我们，好像律法是神颁布给摩西的，在两个石板上面，那么是怎么样写上去的呢？圣经告诉我们是神用他的指头写上去，所以有人解释这里就是好像 耶稣在地上面写字呢，这个就提醒我们律法是来自神的。我不知道这个是不是圣经没有说他到底在沙上面写什么东西，我们就不需要去猜了。但是耶稣就自己在那里画字，没有理他们，但是他们一直的来催耶稣。There are a lot of speculation as to what Jesus was writing on the sand. There's even some speculation that goes back to when God gave Moses the law on the two tablets. The Bible tells us that God uses finger to write on the tablets. So perhaps this is a reminder that God is the one who gave the law. I don't know whether that's true.The Bible didn't say what Jesus wrote on the sand, so let's not even speculate on that. But obviously, Jesus was ignoring them, but they wouldn't let Jesus go. 好，我们继续看下去。第七节，他们一起来问耶稣，耶稣就跟他们这样讲：你们中间谁是没有罪的，谁是可以先拿石头来打他？他就是讲这两句说话。Then in verse 7, we see that Jesus finally gave them the answer. Jesus said, Whoever among you is without sin can cast the first stone. Just that simple answer. Two little lines. Yet this is full of wisdom. 耶稣在这里就是告诉他，你们谁有资格来定这个女人的罪呢？你们谁有资格呢？你没有罪的话，你就可以定他的罪，你也可以用石头 打死他。那谁是没有罪的呢？没有一个人。但是在这里我们要小心，耶稣不是说我们不能有地上的法官审判者，你犯了错被抓到法庭去，那个官要决定你是不是有罪，有罪的话就罚你，不能对那个法官说你又没有罪，你没有罪人你可以定我的罪，但是 你也是罪人，我也是罪人，你有什么资格来定我的罪啊？能不能这样呢？ Here Jesus is saying whoever is without sin has the authority or the credibility to throw the first stone. Now this is a very very wiseretort. But let's not be led to think that there cannot be judges on earth. When you are found doing something wrong, you're dragged to be in front of a judge. You can tell the judge that, do you have sin? If you don't have sin, then you can judge me. But obviously everyone is a sinner.So are we saying that nobody can pass judgment or sentence on someone who's guilty? 当然我们不是这样讲。但是在世界上面的法官是国家给他权力来施行那个国家的法律。这个也是神给他们这个权力来做审判的官，让人罪人能知罪， 能受到刑罚。所以我们千万不要拿这个就是说所有的人都是罪人，所以没有一个罪人能定我的罪，我做什么你都没有资格来定我的罪，只有神有资格来定我的罪。在属灵的意义上面你可以这样讲，只有神能定人的罪，因为这个耶稣在这里就是这样讲。但是神是可以将这个定罪的权利是交给国家里面 的指定的人来代替神来做这个法官的。So we have to be careful not to discredit court judges because they are also sinners. 我们来看他们反应怎么样。 第八节，他讲完了这个以后，耶稣继续就在地上面写字。但是听的那个人在第九节，他听见呢，就从老到少，一个一个都去了，剩下两个人，耶稣跟那个妇人。因为这些人都知道，他们都是罪人。但耶稣说，没有罪的，你就可以用石头打他。但他们都知道自己是一个罪人。为什么从老到少呢？好像先去的，先离开的是年纪大的。有个可能，年纪大的，我们年纪越大，我们犯的罪越多，更明白自己是一个罪人。所以他们都离开了。对，一个一个离开，只有耶稣跟那个妇人在那里。那耶稣就跟那个妇人来谈话了。第十节，耶稣对他说：“妇人，那些人在哪里呢？没有人定你的罪吗？” So when these people heard that Jesus said, "Whoever is without sin can cast the first stone," they all left, starting from the elderly.Probably because people who are older are more honest about what they did. Maybe they committed more sins in their life because they lived longer. But they all knew that they were sin. So they left. They did not have the qualification to judge or to punish this woman. Then, 然后耶稣就跟那个妇人说，妇人，那些人在哪里呢？没有人定你的罪吗？请大家注意这个妇人。以前我们查这个约翰福音第二章，那个迦拿的婚宴是吧？那玛利亚来找耶稣说他们没有酒了，耶稣是跟他说，妇人，我跟你有什么上纲是吧？那个时候我解释说，这个是一个很尊重的一个称呼，这个应该在英文来说是一个 madam， 尊贵的妇人。耶稣是很尊重这个妇人。Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman." Now this word "woman" is not disrespectful in any way. Remember, in the second chapter of John, when Jesus was in Cana, Mary.His mother came to him and said, "They are without wine." And Jesus' answer was, "Woman, what do I have to do with you?" The English translation should be "madam." It's a very respectful term. 当耶稣在十字架上面的时候，他对玛利亚说，妇人，看你的儿子。旁边的就是这个约翰。然后他跟约翰说，看你的母亲，他将玛利亚他的母亲交给约翰。那个时候他也是叫玛利亚做妇人 Madam， 非常非常尊重。 When Jesus was on the cross, Mary was there. He told Mary, "Woman, look at your son." So it was a respectful term. And here JesusCall this woman, woman. Why did Jesus have to ask her? Nobody condemn you? Where are they? Isn't that obvious? 在这里耶稣问这个女人，没有，那些人在哪里呢？没有人定你的罪吗？为什么耶稣要问这么明显的问题呢？这么明显的答案呢？那个女人在十一节，她说：“主啊，没有，没有。”我相信在耶稣在这里要特别要这个妇人明白，她已经不被定罪，其他的人不能再定她的罪，因为他们自己离开，是这个现在是一个没有罪的妇人，没有罪。I think Jesus asked her these obvious questions is to impress upon her that nobody judged her. She was not guilty. She not going to be punished. 然后耶稣告诉她，我也不定你的罪。 去吧，从此不要再犯罪了。耶稣让这个妇人离开，没有定他的罪，没有惩罚他，只是告诉他不要再犯罪。我们都为这个女人高兴是吗？哎呀，不需要被定罪，也不会受惩罚。但是在这里面有个很重要很严重的问题。 Jesus in verse 11 told her, neither do I condemn you. I'm not going to condemn you. Jesus said, go now. Totally exonerated. Forgiven. No punishment. But Jesus reminded her to leave your sin of life. Life of sin. We all feel happy for this woman, right? This woman got off scot-free. No punishment. No judgment, no guilty plea. Just don't do it again. She got off scot-free. So easy. There is a serious issue here. 当然我们知道，刚才我们说，耶稣的心很爱罪人。这个是神爱世人，包括了我们所有的罪人。这个我们都知道的。我特别要用两段的经文来让我们看到神的心是多么爱罪人。我们先看诗篇第103篇第八节，耶和华有怜悯 mercy again mercy 有恩典，不轻易发怒，且有丰盛的慈爱。 We all read these scriptures beforeThe Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. We know this is the nature of God, that He loves sinners. He forgives. 诗篇第130篇第三、第四节，主耶和华，你若救他罪孽，谁能站得住呢？但是你有赦免之恩，要叫人敬畏你。The second verse,says the same thing. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? Nobody could stand. Yet, our Lord is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. So, our God is a loving God. Our God is a forgiving God. 所以我们知道我们的神是一位爱的神，我们的神是赦免我们的神。但是约翰福音第一章有这样来介绍耶稣，以赛亚，我们的神。我们来看约翰福音第一章第十四节，说道成了肉身，这个是耶稣住在我们中间，充充满满的有恩典。这个我们都明白了，有恩典，恩典就是要赦免我们，恩典就是不要定我们的罪。但是这里也同时说有真理，有真理，真理就是公义，真理就是律法，真理是就是不以有罪为无罪。We look back to John chapter 1:14. It says the Word, this is referring to Jesus, the Messiah, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And how did John describe Messiah? Full of grace that we could understand. Grace is forgiveness.Grace is no judgment, no punishment. But then, Messiah, our God, is also truth. Truth is righteousness. Truth is the law. Truth is not to take sin lightly. Sin has to be punished. 因此我们是回到这个 trap. 这个 trap 就是恩典、怜悯、慈爱是不能跟律法、真理、公义并存的。所以耶稣在这里让这个妇人离开，当然这个是他的恩典跟他的爱。 那么公义呢？耶稣的公义呢？神的公义呢？他是不是走进这个法利赛人的 trap 里面呢？他是没有公义啊。Well, we go back to the dilemma we described earlier. These Pharisees set a trap for Jesus that he could not be loving yet righteous at the same time. But we all know God is a righteous God, and sin has to be punished. So the perfect trap here, it seems Jesus fell into it, right? Jesus let the woman go. So where is Jesus' righteousness? Where is God's truth and righteousness? He's ignoring that. How can that be? Did he fall into that trap? 我们要问这个女人的罪啊，严重不严重呢？其实是非常严重啊。刚才我们讲过，神特别吩咐这个罪是死罪啊，不是一个很轻的罪，是很重的罪。我们来看《哥林多前书》第六章第九节，这里讲到各种的罪呢，起码有四种是性方面的罪 ，sexual sins， 就是啊，淫乱的、拜偶像的、奸淫的、恋童的、轻男子，这个是 homosexuality， 同性恋，偷东西、贪婪、醉酒。辱骂、勒索，这些都不能承受神的过，这些都是严重的罪。里面起码有四件是跟这个性有关的。We have to ask the question: the sin this woman committed was a serious one? Is it serious enough? Or perhaps it's not a serious sin, so Jesus just brush it aside and ignore it?When we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, here it listed these serious sins, and there are at least four sexual sins. So sexual sins are a big deal. A big deal. And we read on, chapter 6, verse 18. 我们继续看第十八节，《哥林多前书》第六章第十八节，他说，你们要逃避。淫行人所犯的无论是什么罪都在身子以外，唯有行淫的是得罪自己的身子。这个就是因为为什么性的罪是严重，什么同性恋啊，这些在今天的社会都觉得没有什么大不了的，但是神是觉得这些罪是得罪你自己的身，我们是神造的，所以这个性的罪是特别严重的。Verse 18, it tells us to flee from sexual immorality, and it explained that all sins are committed externally, outside the body. Yet sexual sins is against the own body. So it's serious. It's serious. So theAnswer to Jesus letting the woman off easily is not because what she did was an insignificant sin. It's a grave sin. This sin has to be dealt with. How could Jesus let her off so lightly? 因此我们就回到刚才我们问的，是不是因为这个妇人所犯的罪不是什么大不了，所以耶稣就说啊，算了，你回家去了，不要再做，算了。但是这个罪原来是圣经里面是很严重的罪，那么问题就是为什么耶稣能这样就叫他回去了，不定罪，没有刑罚，不需要死，耶稣充满爱，但是神的公义呢，真理呢？这个就是法利赛人的那个 trap， perfect trap。 那个答案在哪里呢？那个答案在哥林多后书，我们看最后 一段经文，哥林多后书第五章第二十一节，神使那无罪的替我们成为罪， 好叫我们在他里面成为义。这个就是答案，这个就是这个啊 trap 解开的方法。The answer is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 这里告诉我们，神不是以有罪为无罪，那个是神的公义，不容许这样的。但是我们不是讲到神的怜悯不要这个刑罚落在我们身上吗？罪的工价，这个死还是要付的。问题就是谁付？谁付？我们中国人有一句一个词叫“代罪羔羊”，那个是非常非常合乎圣经的。有人要为罪来死，但是不是那个犯罪的人。有一个无罪的来帮我们背起这个罪，为我们死，这个就是答案了。原来这个就是我们所相信的救赎了。我们基督教是相信救赎的，耶稣不是我们的教主，不是基督教的教主，耶稣是拯救我们的救主。他来就是为我们背负我们的罪恶，来受罪的刑罚，所以我们就不需要受刑罚，因为有人有资格也愿意来背负我们的罪。 So the perfect answer is here. Sin still has to be paid with death, but in the great love of God and in His compassion and mercy that He spared us from the punishment.Yet he had to be the one who took the punishment for us. So in Chinese, we have a term, the sacrificial lamb. The lamb was punished in our stead. And only God become man has the qualification to suffer the consequences of sin for us. Because you need a perfect person to...bear our sin. Who is a perfect person? God has to become a man. That's why Jesus had to come. Because there is no sinless man who can be that sacrificial lamb. But when Jesus came, he has a perfect qualification and he's willing to die for our sins. So the answer is here, that sin has to be repaid. It's just thatIt's not you and I. Jesus came to bear our sins. And that's the whole thing about salvation. Salvation is a gift from God. God came to bear our sins and to pay the penalty of death. 如果你明白这个的时候，你就知道，当耶稣告诉这个妇人我也不定你的罪的时候，距离他上十字架只有几个月的时间，所以耶稣是知道这个妇人不需要付罪的代价，但是几个月以后他要亲自的来付罪的代价，里面也包括了这个妇人的罪，也包括所有人的罪，过去的罪，现在的罪，将来的罪，他的宝血为我们付罪的代价。这个是个交易，一个 trade。 这个 trade 怎么 trade 呢？这个 trade 是我们将我们所有的罪都归到耶稣身上。耶稣拿了我们的罪，耶稣将什么给我们呢？将神的圣洁跟公义给我们，这个是最问题的解决。耶稣并不是不看这个妇人的罪算了，不是算了，而是他亲自为我们成为我们的罪，让我们在他里面成为神的义， 所以我们都是圣徒。当然今天我们还是会犯罪，但是我们在神面前，因为神看我们是透过主耶稣，所以他看我们是圣洁的。到一天我们在天上的时候，真正的圣洁，那个时候跟神永远在一起。现在我们有圣徒的身份，你不相信的话，你去看看保罗写信给不同的教会，称呼他们作为圣徒，包括了哥林多的教会。我们知道哥林多的教会很坏的教会，很多很多的罪恶在里面，但是当保罗写信给他们责备他们的时候，保罗也叫他们做圣徒，因为在基督里面我们都有圣徒的身份。 This is Christianity, that God took care of our sin through a tray. This tray is most favorable to us sinners because we traded our sin for God's righteousness. So we're all righteous in front of God even today, because God sees us through JesusBut of course, we are still sinners until we are face to face with God. But today, we have the position of being a saint. And that's why Paul, when he wrote to the different churches, called them the saints, including the Christians at the Corinthian church. It's a church with different kinds of sins, serious sins. Yet, when Paul addressed them, Paul called them saints. This is our position today. This is the grace of God. 我们一起低头祷告。天父，我们感谢你。Dear God, we praise you. 因为你是充满爱的神。Because you are such a loving God.当我们还是罪人的时候，你已经来为我们解决罪的问题。When you were yet sinners, you already came to solve the problem of sin. 我们可以将我们的罪交给你，你将神的公义就放到我们的身上。We can give you our sins, and you, in return, gave us the righteousness of God.我们今天是何等样的人，都是因为你的慈爱、你的恩典、你的怜悯。Today we can be the person that we are, sinless in front of God, be accepted totally, is because of your love, because of your grace, because of your mercy. 神求你天天的提醒我们神是多么的爱我们。Lord, help us to remember how much we're loved by God. 如果我们在当中还有，不论你是坐在这里，不论你在网上听我们讲道，如果圣灵来告诉你，你需要悔改，你需要接受耶稣基督做你的救主，你不要拒绝他。I want to speak to the non-Christians either in this room or listening through the internet, that if you feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart, that you do not refuse. You accept Him as your Lord and Savior. 谢谢你给我们这一段的时间，我们祷告，奉主耶稣基督的名求。We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.